So, brothers, let me ask you a question. Are you in an abusive relationship? No, not you being abusive, but your wife or girlfriend. Is she verbally abusive? Always having you walk on eggshells? Are her reactions unreasonable? Does she gaslight you? Or even worse, does she instill fear in you, causing you to fear for your life or safety? Let's find out what the Bible says about a cantankerous woman. These things and more on today's episode.
Welcome to the groom's room. Welcome to the groom's room. Welcome to the groom's room. Welcome to the groom's room.
So thank you for letting us into your homes, your cars, and most importantly, your ears. Now everybody listen up, because we've got something to say. Welcome! Welcome to the Groom's Room Podcast. I got my brothers with me, Josh and Terrence. How are y'all feeling?
Doing good.
What's going on, fam? Feeling good.
Yes, sir. So we're here, and we got an interesting episode today. Fellas, so normally I know we do a lot of introduction and different introductions and things like that, and some pleasantries and whatever the case is. Nonetheless, I want to get into it. So by now you have seen the title of the episode. So that may be why you've clicked on it, or maybe you're just one of our loyal listeners, so to speak. And so you click on the episode. So the question is, first and foremost, because I know our wives listen to this, the question is, whose idea was it to name this episode what it is named? All right. And I just want to let my wife know that it wasn't my idea.
What? you starting wrong already.
When she hears this, I don't want there to be any issues. I'm not going to point to the people or the person or the man, I should say, who had this bright idea, but it is one of us three or one of those two. And baby, whenever you listen to this, just know it was not me.
All I'm going to tell you is the name starts with a B. Second letter is A.
Okay.
Got two R's in.
I didn't know one thing to say.
Are you sure about that?
What'd you say?
Are you sure about that, man of God?
Hey, if I go back and read the text messages, what I am sure is that you two agreed to be on this episode. That's what I'm sure about. So I don't really know specifically who agreed to the title, but I do know you two are here because y'all agreed and y'all knew ahead of time what the episode was going to be about.
And we also said in the text message, me and Terrence said, we'll do it, but we don't have nothing to do with that title.
Thank you, John. Still shaky about being here today.
Well, we're about to start off real strong, because before we kind of get into the wives getting on our nerves part, we want to talk about living with a cantankerous woman. All right? Cantankerous. It's a word that you may hear often, a word that you may not hear often. And me and the fellas were talking before we hit record. I envision that somebody is going to be blessed, and probably a man somewhere, by listening to this episode. What I hope is that it's not one of those situations where you're riding in the car with your wife, it could even be your girlfriend, and you're like, man, these guys are saying everything I've been wanting to say, but I can't say, because you are indeed living with a cantankerous woman. Now, first and foremost, there was an article I read that gave a great description of what it was like to live with a cantankerous woman. And they did it based off of a lot of scriptures and Proverbs. All right. They said, here are some characteristics of a cantankerous woman. Number one, fellas, you don't want to share living quarters with her. What is the scripture? It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Get this. Now, this is a crazy description. She's like a bone-eating disease. Let that sink in for a second. She's like a bone-eating disease. It says, a wife of noble character is a husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. What'd you say, Josh?
I said, God Almighty.
Yes, sir. But I got three more. Listen to this description. The desert heat would be more comfortable than living with her. What's the scripture? It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. That's crazy. The desert heat is more comfortable than living with her. Another description. The military could use this woman for torturing the enemy.
What?
Good gracious. What's the scripture they use? A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand.
Mm.
What's the catch? Can you actually restrain the wind? No, you could try all day, but you ain't gonna be able to grab the wind. Can you actually grip oil with your bare hands? Nope, because it's just gonna slip right through. That's what the Bible says it's like living with a cantankerous woman. Lastly, when she's aggravated, she's loud and in your face. The scripture is the woman of folly is loud. She is naive and knows nothing. Proverbs 9 and 13. Now, let me quickly say this. My wife is not like this. Terrence and Josh have both said that their wives are not like this. However, we do know that there are wives who are very much like this. And brothers, if you are married to a woman like this, God help you. Fellas, if you are dating a woman who is like this, leave.
Mm-hmm.
Leave quickly or leave quietly. You can leave quickly, quietly, or whatever you got to do, but make sure you get out of that thing because a cantankerous woman will drive you crazy. And I know somebody out there is like, well, men can be cantankerous. They might be. We're not that. Hey, we can handle that on another episode. Men can be a lot of things, and we can handle those things on another episode. But today, the cantankerous woman, the description is, it is more comfortable to deal with the desert heat. Fellas, What you got to say about those descriptions?
Yeah. I'm so glad that my woman ain't contagious. She contagious.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Man, she's not contagious. But if you do have a woman, man, you might want to go find your spot on the roof. No, I'm just joking.
Hey, you know what? Some nights, you might want to go find you a spot on the roof. I mean, you know, we're talking about a flat surface. To where, you know, you can't fall off. But, you know, I've seen, whether it was on TV, movies, real life, things that we've seen, you know, relatives do or go through, it's like you're always fussing.
Right,
and
yeah.
Arguing about something. I was reading one description is, and they were saying how you don't know what's going to set her off.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you can have the best roses in bed, petal, whatever thing planned, rose petals in bed plan, a nice date. And no matter what it is, she's going to find something and it's going to set her up. And I'm just not sure how y'all do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure. Terrence.
Oh, my wife's definitely not contagious. So I feel blessed in that avenue. A lot of what was said sounds horrific. So that tells me and tells us we need to make sure we do what we can not to lead our wives that way.
All right, listeners, we will be right back with more from this episode of the Groom's Room podcast. But first, if you have any thoughts, any ideas, suggestions, or questions, please send us an email at thegroomsroompodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Groom's Room Podcast. And lastly, please don't forget to subscribe and like our podcast on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. Thank you so much. And now I'm back to this episode of The Groom's Room Podcast. Yeah, that's a good old, nice, professional response. That's the husband's response of trying to make sure he continues to say the right things.
Yeah, you're right. I love you. I love you, baby.
Oh, Lord, is she near you?
Nah, well, she's going to hear this.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, no wonder you straightened it up. So I didn't know she was right beside you.
You're straight and narrow.
Yeah. Hey, man, no wonder. Hey, normally, you know, for those that don't know, when we record these episodes, we're on a Zoom call so we can see each other. Terrence, his screen is just dark. Can't see nothing. He don't have his camera on, so that might stand the reason. She might be right there with her fist in his back or something else in his back. Hey, you better say it.
You probably got to
let y'all talk about her like that. She ain't done none of that. This is all me.
Let me tell you something. Hey, D is our sister. We won't got no issue with D.
Hey, no, sir.
Yeah, we have zero issue whatsoever.
Hey, look, she probably got a house, a little playhouse in her hand. You want to get on the corner? All right, Terrence, I'm just missing.
Yeah, but so what you said, what did you say on this episode? Explain this to me again. No. So, you know, back to this article was saying this, giving more descriptions about what it would be like to live with a cantankerous woman. It talks about how she tears her husband down. Says she criticizes and critiques his work always. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, it is rarely done right and never is it enough. Also says that the insight they give, they think is helpful, but it's not. They complicate his work by failing to do their own. That's very interesting. We fail to say, I'm sorry. I might get in trouble there.
Go ahead.
No, Doc. I think me and my wife both are learning how to quickly say, I'm sorry, whether or not we truly feel sorry or not.
I think it's in women, man. Women. I'm just telling you, go all the way down from my sister's hotel.
It's hard for them to say, I'm sorry.
Like, it's hard. What is it? I mean,
I don't know.
Eve didn't apologize to Annie. They might have got it for her.
I honestly, legitimately do not know what makes it so hard. And I can hear my wife, every time me and my wife talk about this, she'll put it back on me. She'll be like, well, you don't apologize. Yeah. And then I go back and I'm like, no, actually I do. Like I start recounting, you know, incidents in my brain. I'm like, I am very quick to say, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, that was too much, or I didn't mean it like that, or actually it's not that big of a deal. But her, on the other hand, how does she say I'm sorry? She'll bake a cake, cook my favorite meal.
Oh my goodness.
You know, ask me, do I want Starbucks while I'm at work? Do you want me to bring you Starbucks by? You know what I'm saying? She'll do a chore or something I know that we've been putting off for a while. So now when I come home, I don't got, hey, this is how my wife funny. When she has messed up, and when I say messed up, I don't mean like messed up, but you know, when we have been arguing and it might kind of have been her fault. I can come home, it's spick and span clean. I mean, all you do is smell Mr. Clean and bleach. and all the Bath and Body Works air fresheners all throughout the house and all that stuff. Now, we keep a clean home in general, but those days, man, you can, what's the old saying? You can eat off the floor. That's how she says, I'm sorry. I don't know about y'all wives, but that's how my wife says she's sorry.
That's not that bad, is it?
No, but sometimes I just want to hear you say, hey, my bad. That was my fault.
Yeah.
They ain't gonna say it.
Now, me and my wife, we've talked about this at length a while over our time. And so we definitely have worked towards it. It's still a struggle, can be. And I will say she says it. Now, I'll be interested to see if we have a conversation to say, rather than saying, I'm sorry, why don't you, do dinner, cook me a dinner or bake a cake, clean or something. See what my wife says at that point. That might change the game.
My position on this is the amount of time it takes you to do all of those things, right, is far greater than what it takes you to just say, I'm sorry. Like, it don't even take you a second.
Right, to say
I'm sorry. If that, maybe just a second. But she would rather go through the, not demand, but go through the process of doing all those things sometimes than to say I'm sorry. And she does it sometimes. I mean, sometimes she says it, but other times it's, I'm like, Lord, I come home. You can smell the fresh air by, as soon as you open the garage, you're not even all the way in the house. You just open the garage. I'm like, yeah, she done cleaned up. So at the end of the day, that just means it's going to be a good night. that's what that means. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're probably too young to be listening to this episode. So they go on to say that she won't apologize. She belittles him for all the ways he fails to meet her high expectations. They say that her speech sometimes can be ungodly, moody, and she's always accusing him of things. They say she sabotages his efforts by her actions. She speaks before she thinks. And again, we're talking about living with a cantankerous woman. I want to restate, we've all said that this is not our wives at all.
Right.
She fails in her marital intimacy, and she steals his good name. That's kind of, strange there. She steals his good name. Instead of being known in the gates, he's known as the guy with the battering ram wife, or the poor guy who has to deal with her. That's something. So instead of him being known as a strong man out in public, in the gates, he's known as the guy with the battering ram wife, or the poor guy who has to deal with her. She belittles him in front of people, family. She makes him look weak. She compares him to other men. Goodness gracious. Fellas, if I am describing a relationship you are in, please, if you are not married, get out. If you are married, seek help. I advise you to pray, to fast, and seek some spiritual counseling from some trusted, experienced spiritual leaders, because you are absolutely going to need it.
I will say this, and I just, me and my wife, sometimes we'll watch those reality shows, and one of them being Married to Medicine. And one of the doctors on there, his wife, she does a lot of things like what you're describing. She'll emasculate him and do some other stuff, just talk, compare. And he's ended up saying, I knew what I was getting before I married her. When I met her, I knew who she was and what she was about. And I like that kind of stuff. I guess that toxic type stuff. And so I guess I'm saying, like, some men actually may ask for that, which is crazy.
That's weird. But for me, to each his own. That's my first response. But then again, that makes me believe that brother is just saying that stuff so he can have an excuse to do other things that he want to do. Because I can't imagine living in a house where every day, I'm talking about every single day, it is full of arguing and fighting and maybe even cussing each other out. And it's just like the balloon is going to pop at any point. There's always so much tension in the air. You know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of times we have discussed men beating women, and certainly we, hey, look, we're like, we ain't having that. Like, you're a little boy. If you put your hand on women, like, bottom line, I don't care what happens. But then there are women out here who jump on men, and the men, rightfully so, they'll get away. They'll hold them down if necessary to restrain them. They won't hit back. But you do have women who are like that. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, you seriously are saying this is what you like? You like that kind of stuff? Like, who wants to have to sleep with one eye open every night? You know what I'm saying? With little kids, you feel like you got to do that anyway, because you got to make sure they don't never get out of bed, or they're not into something. You know what I'm saying? But who really wants to have to sleep with one eye open every night? Or, you know, the stereotype is going to work one day and coming out with your tire slashed or your car keyed or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are guys that we know who are in relationships that are like this. The question is, should they stay? My response is absolutely not. Now, if you're married, again, that's different. But if you're in a relationship like this, you got to get out of it. You got to get out of it.
Well, what do you say to the married brother?
What I said a few minutes ago, because you can't divorce. What did Jesus say? Save fornication? Mm-hmm. Save somebody cheating? So you can't divorce. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to be biblical about it, now I know people are right, like, what right, do you mean right. You can't divorce? But again, if we're going to be biblical about it, you can't divorce. So you got it, man. Hey, what Jesus said, some of these things only come by fasting and praying. Hey, I mean, it can happen. Paul said that the wife can sanctify the husband and the husband can sanctify the wife. So that's what I'm saying. Pray and fast and seek some strong spiritual help from some strong experience. And I'm talking about years upon years of people with marital experience, leaders, because you're going to need it. Like I said, we know of different situations. We know of different circumstances. This is crazy. But there are people who live like this.
Man, oh man.
No peace.
I will say I don't know. Man. I don't think nobody should stay in a dangerous situation. So that's
The funny thing is I think you say dangerous situation. It can get dangerous. Is that it's like a cantankerous woman will toe the line of dangerous, not necessarily ever going over the edge. And I guess some people say that they might, you know what I'm saying? But it's always like toe the line of dangerous. They won't kill you ever, but they will certainly make you think they will. And again, therefore that creates that non-peace. Like I've said before, to me, and this is my opinion, the most peaceful place on earth, the place you should be the most excited about going is your home. And if your home is not the most peaceful place on earth for you, I gave an example. It doesn't matter to me whether you go out to Hawaii, Dubai, out of the country, some of these great Caribbean islands, some of the, you know, these great states, towns, and different things, some of these great cities in the United States, some of the most beautiful beaches that could be utter paradise. After a while, that bed that you're sleeping in is not going to feel like your bed, and ain't nothing going to feel like your bed. And you're going to eventually be like, okay, this is great. Whether it's 5 days, 10 days, or, you know, a couple of weeks, eventually you're going to want to come back home when your house is a peaceful home. And I don't get it. But some people have homes where they absolutely hate going to every day. During COVID, I don't know if there was it wasn't a meme. What do you call the little short videos? I guess a reel. And this guy, this was during COVID, this guy was on the phone and he had got a call from either his job or something, the operator or his job, right? And I think it was his job. And for those that have seen this, I may have got the story wrong. They were like, well, sir, they said something to the effect of you have two options. You can either stay at home with your wife and your kids, or you can come to work. And before they even could finish the statement, he said, I'm coming to work. Like, and it was something along the lines of like, you got to work for 30 hours straight, 20 hours straight. I really don't remember, but it's something very exaggerated. And but his response was like, I don't even really care how long I got to be at work or what I got to do. Anything is going to be better than being here.
Wow.
Right. You see what I'm saying? And it was done to be funny, but that's the crazy part. But that is also the reality for some husbands.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have that.
No, I don't have that either, man. The situation is very combustible for some. And I don't see how y'all do it. But other than what I am saying is, if this is you, get help. Ladies, if the roles are opposite, we will go ahead and say, if you're in a situation where you're dating a guy and there's no peace, leave. If you're married, that's different. But leave, for goodness sake. And if you're married and it's abusive, especially if there's physical abuse, you got to get out of that. You got to get out of that because God didn't make you to be nobody's punching bag. God didn't make you to be anybody's battering ram. You got to get out of that, any kind of abusive situation. God did not make you to be somebody's stepping stool in that you're always being stepped on, beat on, and overlooked. You got to get out of those things. You got to. All right. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. If you have any questions or feedback, please send us an email to thegroomsroompodcast@gmail.com. Also, please consider subscribing to our podcast so that you will be notified of all the latest available downloads. Now remember, these are our thoughts, our opinions, from our perspectives, and this is our platform. We'll see you next time on the Groom's Room Podcast.